Amen. We will take some questions again because we know that there are a lot of questions to be answered in Christendom. When you read the Bible and you are sincere, there are questions that will come to your mind. When you look at Christianity and what is going on in Christianity, there are questions you will ask. That's the truth. And when you ask some of these pastors, amen, they end up confusing you the more. Yes. To justify their errors. Amen. But now, all of you watching us from all around the world, God has provided a platform. Every question we answer, we have a Bible base for our answer. Praise the Lord. And it gives you opportunity to either take the Bible explanation or you take your denomination's explanation. Praise the Lord. But one thing the Holy Ghost does is it gives you an inner witness as a response to the truth. When truth is spoken, peace will come upon your spirit. Say, that is the answer. Amen. If you are sincere. And I'm not saying that I have all the answers. The one I don't know, I will tell you I don't know. And if there's somebody in the congregation that knows, please say I know. Then I'll give you a microphone to answer the person. Amen. But if you answer wrongly, I will counter your own. I didn't say I know everything. And nobody can know everything. We all learn every day. So it is not interactive. If I answer wrongly and you know it better than I've answered, feel free. Say, no, Pastor. You said that God is not three. He is one. I can prove to you in the Bible that He is three. Then show us in the Bible. Then I will take correction from that day that He is three. Praise the Lord. I said, woman cannot wear trousers in this part of the world. You said, no, they can wear trousers. The Bible didn't say, show me in the Bible, and I would even buy trousers for our sisters and apologize. Any question? Who is asking the question? Yes, sister? Amen.
Melchizedek. And Jesus Christ. Because when I read my scripture, Old Testament, Abraham paid tithe to Melchizedek, and Melchizedek blessed Abraham, give him bread and wine. So my question is, Melchizedek, is he Christ? Because when you read the scripture, say he doesn't even have any where he comes from. He doesn't have father, he doesn't have mother. You can't trust him. So he can't trust Melchizedek. So my question is, if he's Christ, does it mean that Christ have come in the Old Testament and not come in the New Testament? So I want to get something from there. Praise the Lord.
Apostle Paul was the one that linked Christ to Melchizedek in Hebrews chapter 6. Let's read it. Hebrew. See how he brought it in. Now Apostle Paul was explaining something about the New Testament. Let's go back to chapter 5. Let's get the picture from chapter 5. Let's get the picture very well. Let's just go back a little bit. Is explaining the new priesthood. And in chapter 5 from verse 1, this is the way Apostle Paul put it. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. That is the position of high priest in the Old Testament. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity? That is, the high priest that was standing in the gap for the sins of the people in the old order, he himself has his own weaknesses as a human being. That's what Apostle Paul is explaining, verse 3. And by reason hereof, he ought as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. So the high priest was offering both his own sacrifice for the people and for himself also. Verse 4. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. So it is not Christ that made himself the high priest, like Aaron in the Aaronic priesthood in the Old Testament is appointed. Like Aaron was appointed, so also Christ was appointed by him that said, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Who was it that told him that? It's God himself. Verse 6. As he said also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Who is that? Christ is a priest forever, but this time after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek in Genesis chapter 14, where he met Abraham, was a priest of the Most High. But the priesthood of Melchizedek was an everlasting priesthood. This priest of the Most High God that Abraham met in chapter 7 of Hebrew chapter 7, Apostle Paul was explaining that this Melchizedek that Abraham met had no father, had no mother, had no beginning of this, and has no ending of this. He had no lineage. But he was a priest that abided forever. Now, Apostle Paul was using the person that Abraham met on his way in Genesis chapter 14. Apostle Paul was using it that when the Bible says the priesthood of Jesus Christ is not after the order of Aaron. It was not the Aaronic type of priesthood. But it is a priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. He was saying, and then if you read further, you will discover that he was, you know, giving the comparisons between the two, the contrast between the two line of priesthood, which we fall under the priesthood that is after the order of Melchizedek. But in the Old Testament, they were under the priesthood that was lesser than that. Because this, our priesthood, he did not offer any sacrifice for himself. It was a clean priesthood. Number two, Aaron, his own priesthood, they die, and another one will be appointed to replace the one that died. So it was not an everlasting priesthood. But this priesthood that is after the order of Melchizedek is a priesthood that never ends. He cannot die. So our high priest and the grace, those of us that are under grace, we are more privileged than those that we are under the law. Because our high priest is there making atonement for us every day and night. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Praise the Lord. That is the comparison between the priesthood of the order of Melchizedek with the priesthood of the order of Aaron. That is what brings them together. Praise God. I don't know if I've explained it for you.
My second question.
Is that one clear?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
My second question.
Yes.
If you read the Bible, the Old Testament, is those priests...
And let me just quickly add this. That the emphasis there When Apostle Paul stressed that the person of Melchizedek was a man that he met that had no lineage, no birthday, no ending of this. He's trying to tell you that it was God himself that Abraham met on the way. And that he's also using the comparison to tell us this time that it is no more a man that now come to atone for our sins, but that it is God himself that came in Christ Jesus. Like he came in Melchizedek, he's coming in Christ Jesus. So it was God himself coming by himself, by his own working, for the atonement of our sins. God bless you. What's the second question?
The second question, the priest, if you trace them, their tribe is from the Levites.
Yes.
But when God wants to send Jesus Christ, he sent through the family of the tribe of David. Yes. And from Judah.
Yes.
So I want you to highlight.
Because the order was changing. That's all. Okay. The new order, New Testament. And can the Jews alone make claim to Jesus? No. Jesus had Gentile blood in him. Eh? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. David was the son of Obed. Am I correct? Obed was the son of who? Son of Jesse. Jesse was the son of who? And Obed was the son of who? The woman that gave birth to Obed is who? Ruth, a Gentile woman. A Moabitish woman gave birth the lineage that produced those people. So, amen. What of Rahab? Amen. Rahab also has a hand in the birth of Jesus Christ. So to let you know that the birth of Jesus Christ came for the whole world because he belonged to the whole world. That's why he's the savior of the whole world. The order was changing from only the Jews to the whole world. So God bypassed all that lineage, the Levite and the Aaron lineage. Praise God. Okay, that is the reason. Okay, let's take a call. A call is coming in. Hello from Switzerland.
Hello, Church. Shalom.
Shalom.
My name is Chukwudi from Switzerland. I thank God for the grace of God upon your life, and I thank God for what the Lord has been doing in the ministry. I'm very, very happy to know the Bride Assembly, and I'm very, very glad to be a partaker of this message that is on the line in this end time, because many churches are really in blindness even up to today. But there is something I want to understand, sir, about the ministry. Because there is some certain things that is happening in the Church of God today that sometimes I do ask myself a question. Is it the way that our forefathers laid the foundation in the church? Because there are some people that go to studio and commercialize a gospel. They will go to studio and they publish a message and begin to sell in the market. And went to the studio and made some prayers and began to sell in the studio. Is it right? Is it supposed to be so in the ministry, in the house of God? I just want to understand. Because sometimes I get confused with so many things in church today.
It is wrong, but you know they are fulfilling scripture.
Okay.
Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2. I think 2 Peter chapter 2. This is the way the apostle put it. And it is a prophecy. It is a prophecy from verse 1. It's a prophecy, and every prophecy must come to pass because it is thus said the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 2, it said, but there were false prophets also among the people. False. When we say prophet here, it's not only people who see vision. Anybody that stands and is preaching, you are actually prophesying. Prophecy is to say, God will say. So if you read Bible and say, this is what God is saying, you are either giving correct interpretation, which makes you a true prophet, or a wrong interpretation that makes you false. But there were false prophets also among the people in the wilderness, even as there shall be false teachers among you, false teachers of the Bible, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even deny the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Now verse 3 is my emphasis. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. You see? Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So, it is the prophecy we are seeing fulfilling right before our eyes. The truth is, carnal people have invaded the church. One more time, I must preach the ministry of Brother Judas. The world should hear that message I preached some years back, that I titled the ministry of Brother Judas. There are a lot of people like Judas who have received grace, who are serving Jesus, but all they see from him is what they can get and make from him. All manner of ideas are going on to make money. And because millions of people are following this Christ, and most, 90%, the larger part of the millions following Christ, know nothing about the true salvation. And so once you can demonstrate one little power, anything you say that God is saying, they will believe. They have capitalized on that, and then they are duping the people with feared words, sweet mouth, but with a covetous spirit, covetousness. They've commercialized the gospel, and there is certainty of judgment. That destruction is awaiting them. It is thus said the Lord. And it must come to pass. None of them will go free except they repent. As the truth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And everyone whose senses are correct, normal, you must ask the question the brother from Switzerland is asking now. That gives you the reason to believe why there must be a restoration ministry. That's the reason God sent William Branham with that message. To pull his people out of that nonsense and come back to Bible Christianity. That's who we are. That's where we stand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, now, I saw something in the hand, a band in the hand of a young boy yesterday. A band, a rubber band with a dove. And I asked, what is this about? He says it's a prayer band. That church had a convention that, if not even millions, hundreds of thousands of people gathered, and then they were selling it. If you have that the Geo has blessed that rubber band. And once you put it on, you are covered. Is that not idolatry? Imagine how much they will make in that ministry. Everybody, would you want to have it? Praise God. That is what Christianity has been reduced to. Amen. Musicians now, no longer, people don't buy their music again. They saw the better market in Christianity. And people are not even seeing those same gospel musicians. See them. Today they are releasing a Christian song. Anytime one politician is campaigning again, the same musician will go there and create another song. And people cannot see that it's not a Christian musician, but it's a commercial musician that has found a larger market in Christendom. Nothing more. And they call them Christian musicians. Okay? But our eyes of understanding. How many people can sing it? He has opened up our eyes. As to victory is ours. We are chained down in the past. True jubilee and song. And we have responded to our own. Whose original God's attributes we are manifested to his pride in this land. We are called a revelation by the last prophet's message, and we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord. Original Christianity. Praise the Lord. That's why he said, come out of her, my people. It's an antichrist spirit. Don't join them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's very painful. Anytime that question. Not be only you, they ask. Chukudi Mitsua, they answer every day. God bless you. Let's hear you now.
Praise the Lord, church.
Another call. God bless you, Rebecca from Netherlands.
Shalom. Shalom, church. My name is Rebecca. I'm calling from Holland, Netherlands. And Daddy, I have a question. Yesterday, I was listening to the message in the net, so I come across the message that you preach, the spirit of football. So there are two comments you made. One is, football is not the will of God. And the second one is, there is nothing wrong for a Christian to be a sportsman or a sportswoman. And the first thing that comes to my mind is, the Bible said that we should train up a child the way they will grow up. When they grow up, they will not depart from it. So why I'm asking this question, because my son, one of them, is playing football. He's really devoted to the football. So I was kind of scared. Since that comment that you made that football is not the will of God, as a Christian, should I allow him to still be playing football? And what sport is the will of God for a Christian? Because over here, it's kind of important for our children. They must engage in activities like sports. And the kids here, they like it. So what will I do? I'm bothered about it.
God bless you, Sister Rebecca. I know that sister very well. She met us online like this, and she's among those that travel all the way from Holland to Germany, the last program we had there. Now, and she loves God. This young woman, she loves God. Now listen very well to that message. Listen very well to that message. I didn't say that it is not the will of God for us to play football. I didn't say so. If I say so, then I'll be contradicting myself. The second statement you said, that I said there is nothing wrong with sports. So you need to, you need to balance what I was saying. But I still stand on what I believe. That sports, of course, we have talents. And if anybody decides to use a God-given talent, and they make money in it like sports. There is nothing wrong in it. But there is something about particularly football that has a spirit that until when it comes to the stage of competition, somebody is going to begin to fast and pray that the team that he supports should win. Another one also, the opponent also, is also praying that his own team should win. And then, unbelievers are in the field there, playing football, and then you are here fasting and praying, and it has no link to you whatsoever, whether they win or they lose, you are only nothing but a fan, a supporter. And then you are here dying with fasting and saying, oh, until you can fight here. If somebody speaks against your team, until you can carry money and go and stake and bet, until there is the whole thing has produced, Satan has jacked it to the peak of producing hooliganism. And I said, that is evidence that God has no hand in it. It is entirely a man affair. Keep God out of it. Because two people cannot be struggling for something and then you are praying. That one pray, this one pray. Then if your own win, God answer you. Why did he not answer those ones? The second one that lost. Then you make God now look partial. So it is wrong. And to start with, there is nothing in football that is glorifying God that will make you support in such a way that we see it happening today. That's why I said that thing, there is a contrary spirit that has entered you and you don't even know it. There's nothing wrong about sports. Nothing wrong. It's a talent in exercise. And if you want to make a living in it, nothing wrong. But you that you are a fan, now you get problem. What is it? Chelsea? How many of you are Chelsea? Chelsea? Which one again? Bayern? Which one again? Man U? Who again? Who? And you're here clapping. Hey, Jesus, wait, Jesus! You know something's wrong with you. Jesus has no hand in that, lie. So, Sister Rebecca, encourage your children. They can make a living with any talent they have. And while they are in it, teach them to glorify God in it. Praise the Lord. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? And that's why I say a church has no business setting up a football team, a football club. There's nothing. That is the extent of dissent. Look, church, listen. Stay within the boundary of the limit of salvation. Leave the world to go the way they want to. There are certain things that does not concern the church. Don't say you are promoting youth development. Promote youth development by teaching them good morals. Enough in the Bible here to make them contribute positively to nation development. But when it comes to you setting up football until you begin to set interdenominational competition, this year, now bride, take a cup. Next year, you people must take that cup again, you hear? So, intercessors, pray very well. They have nothing more to preach. That's why they go to picnic. They go to beauty pageant. They bring a clowns to come and hold microphone at the altar and make them laugh. Comedians. To make jests. And then they are laughing. All that is because they have nothing to face. We here, we have too many things to face. We have to let you take time and let your sins be remitted. We have to take time to let you receive eternal life through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We have to take time to teach you the Antichrist system revealed to us through the revelation of the seven seals. We have to let you know the Gentile dispensation is ending. For nations are breaking, Israel's awaking, the sign that the prophets foretold. The Gentile is numbered with arrow they combat.
Eternity show will unfold.
Hallelujah!
The day of redemption is here. Spirit, your lamps ring and clear. Oh, look up, your redemption is
here. In these, the closing days of time, one joy, the glorious hope of God. People for the soon coming of the Lord will engage in some of these activities. Because there will be no time for it. When you are sitting in the church, witches are sitting down there comfortably. Fornicators are clapping hands and paying tithe. We have too many things to say. And to go and organize football. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
God bless you. God bless you, Rebecca. Let your children go and play football, because now so can one could change the fortune of his parents. Your own too, one day may change your own fortune. But let them remain rapturable. God bless you, sir. Let's hear somebody from here.
Pastor, my question is, I was going through the sermon book of Brother Abraham. So he was linking the baptism of the Holy Ghost to circumcision, which is the covenant that God made with Abraham. So now, then the thing that came to my mind is, Ishmael was there because God gave Abraham order to go and circumcise all his household. So I started searching. And even when I got to chapter 21 of the book of Genesis, Isaac was 8 days old when they circumcised him.
Yes.
Before they sent him. And before then, they have given birth to Ishmael. So what came to my mind was, this Ishmael, was he not circumcised?
Eh?
Ishmael, was he not circumcised in the household of Abraham?
So what you are saying is, you want to compare Ishmael with who?
No, I'm not trying to compare. Brother Abraham was linking Holy Ghost baptism to, because I was going through his sermon.
Yes.
Of the Holy Holy Ghost book.
Yes.
So he was trying to link up the Holy Ghost baptism to the circumcision.
See, I want you to note something here. It's not Brother Abraham that link it. It is the Bible that link it. In Ephesians chapter 4, let's read it. Chapter 4 and verse 30. This is the way he put it. He said, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Chapter 1 again, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. He spoke 13 and 14, where he says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that you had the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that holy promise, with that Holy Spirit of promise." You are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Again, go to Romans. Go to Romans chapter 2. Verse 28 and verse 29. It says, "For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew," in the New Testament now, the New Covenant, "which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." Finally, go to chapter 4 again and verse 11 of that same Romans. He was making reference. I'm coming back to what you are saying now. From verse 9. Let's read it from verse 9. He said, "Come this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the circumcision also. For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it reckoned? When he was circumcised or in uncircumcision?" Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. "And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also." That's why I said it's not William Branham that said it. I said it's the Bible that said it. It's Apostle Paul. So continue your question.
My question is, was Ishmael circumcised?
Sure, he was circumcised.
Then,
not only Ishmael that was circumcised, Eliezer was also circumcised. All the slaves they had, they were also circumcised. Because everyone was supposed to be circumcised if they will come under the blessing and the covenant that God had with Abraham.
But at the last day, Ishmael is not making it.
No, because the promise, there is a promise. Somebody shall promise.
Promise.
Shall promise.
Promise.
Shall promise.
Promise.
Why? Because the same Galatians tells us, let's read it, because we are asking Bible questions. Let Bible answer chapter 4.
Verse 22.
This is the way he put it. Verse 21 and verse 22 and verse 23. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons. The one by a bondmaid. What's the name of that bondmaid? Say it very loud if you know it.
Hagar.
The other by a free woman. Who is a free woman? Sarah. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by promise. Go to verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, we are the children of promise. Praise the Lord. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Is it not so now? Thank you. Verse 30. Are we there? Verse 30. Nevertheless, what said the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. And remember that two women, Hagar and Sarah. Hagar is a type of the denominational system. Born after the flesh. Man's idea.
Yeah.
But there is a church of promise.
Okay.
Two groups of people are in Abraham's family. But because Ishmael was also, you know, fathered by Abraham, he too had to be blessed. That's why he was made great. But he cannot go in the rapture. No matter what they have, they can't go in the rapture.
Thank you, Pastor.
God bless you. On the wall, it was a sign.
Once you are saved, forever you are saved.
Everything we receive from God is by faith. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
Spirit of delusion.
They told me it doesn't matter. It matters. There is yet another day that is His mercy is still available.
The trials of the Christian.
Christians face trials.
The God of this world cannot be our God because we are in this world but not of this world.
Yes, sister. There's one coming through Skype. Shalom Church from Spain. Brother Anduka from Spain. He says, Shalom Church. Sir, which verse in the Bible can we use to back up that one of the sons of Noah's wife slept with another man that made Noah to cause his grandson and not his son that saw his nakedness? You want to know the verse? Okay, let's go to Genesis. I think you are not asking why they cost. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, you want to know the verse now? It's chapter 9, Genesis chapter 9, and you have to read it from verse 18 and read it up to verse 27. Let me read it for you. Amen. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. So that is where the son of Ham was cursed. That is the scripture. He only wants to know the scripture. I thought he would ask the question, why is the son cursed instead of the father? God bless you. Yes, next question.
Sir, as you were answering questions, I was just looking at your mouth. As if something like a fire just came up. As if when you shoot a gun, the way the thing, I was like, it's ineffective. Glory be to God.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Because what I'm speaking is the truth.
Yes. Yes, sir.
So that fire was released to chase away unbelief from somebody.
Amen.
Permanently. Any unbeliever here, Holy Ghost!
Fire, oh, fire.
That thing that is making sister to still wear trousers, that fire will burn it out of your body. God bless you.
Well, I put a link on my phone one day. Link to Brother Abraham's biography, everything about him. So there was a woman on my list from Guyana. She checked it and she messaged me immediately. I was like, I should try and explain to her where that there was a place in that place. Say it was the messenger to the bride of Christ. I should try and explain to her. So I was explaining. I linked it up to those that heard the shout. She was not, I should hold on. So I mean that I am a Gentile. I said, yes, now we are all Gentiles. That if you are not a Jew, you are a Gentile now. She said, oh, I should not worry that she is a Jew. I was like, you are a Jew. How are you a Jew? She said, because she's from the tribe of Israel. I was like, really? And she's from Naphtali, because I checked Revelation chapter 7. All those 124,000 that were selected, because I know two tribes, as Pastor Thomas taught us, two tribes were removed, Dan and Ephraim. So I wanted to check whether Naphtali. So I saw Naphtali. I was still trying to explain to her. Explain it. She did not understand anything.
But what's your problem? If somebody says he's a Jew, finish now. You understand?
But I noticed. Eh? I noticed that she wanted to learn, but
no, she
was not understanding.
She wants to learn. Does she have a Jewish passport? No, it's true.
I'm just trying to like say I was.
No. If I am to meet such a woman, I would say, "Hey, you are a Jew. How are you a Jew? You are either a Jew by birth. You are a Jew by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, according to Romans chapter 2 and verse 28 and 28.
Yeah.
Because a Jew." It's no more a Jew natural. There is not spiritual Jew, and there is natural Jew. So of course I can say I am also a Jew, a former Gentile. Praise the Lord. So it depends on what she means. But why will somebody who is not an Israelite claim to be a Jew if you are not born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. Because through that seed of Abraham, in thee, Abraham, shall the whole families of the earth be blessed. And through the cross, the Bible says that the blessing of Abraham crossed to us also, the Gentiles. So if somebody who is not a natural Jew and is not a spiritual Jew and claims to be a Jew is a liar, like some people in Nigeria, eastern part of Nigeria, say they are Jews. I don't call any tribal.
Okay, sir. Just help me throw better light in that aspect, because she was asking the meaning of that bride. I was trying to explain to her that those are is the bride that will make the rapture, the elect from every age. So those, I don't know. Tell me something that I can really, really tell her that she
understands. Refer her to our messages. Link her to our website.
I've linked her.
And we have more than 400 messages that are there in the net for her to listen. If she listens, then refer her to some specific messages that you know we have, and then God will open her eyes. Because and it's funny, and maybe she's even a Christian, maybe she goes to church, and she has never heard about the word the bride, you see. And if you're a Christian and you don't know that Christ has come to get a wife for himself from the Gentile church, from the Gentile world, then what have they been teaching you in that church? You see? So show her our website.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sister. Another one from Saudi Arabia. Sister Ezine, Pastor, I am listening to your answers. Please clear me why Ishmael will not go in the rapture. John 3:16, is it not for all that believe? Praise the Lord. Ha! Sister from Saudi Arabia. Amen. Romans chapter 9. Amen. Verse 6. Romans chapter 9. Not as though the word of God has taken on effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel. The next verse. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, carnal Christians, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. That is the reason why Ishmael cannot make the rapture. I think I've compressed the answer. See, Matthew chapter 13 from verse 24 gives us a parable of the sower, the wheat, parable of the wheat and tares. The farm there, listen church, the farm there, I'll just give two examples. The farm there is the church of Jesus Christ. The owner of the farm is the Lord himself, Jesus Christ. That sow the good seed there is the word for salvation, the truth. But while men slept, the apostles that took those good seeds to this farm, the church of Jesus Christ, while they slept, they died. An enemy went and planted tares also. So in the church of Jesus Christ, there are two groups there, wheat and tares. But their origin is different. So John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that whosoever believe, amen, But believe what? What do you believe? You believe that to open your mouth and say Jesus is Lord, you are born again, Abby? That's what you believe. You believe that everybody who speak in tongues as evidence of the Holy Ghost, Abby? That's what you believe. You believe that Matthew 28 verse 19 is to take somebody inside the water and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost and bring you out, Abby? You believe that God is three and not one, Abby? You believe that infant baptism will take you to heaven, remit your sins. You believe that sprinkling of water will remit. You believe that you can come to church anyhow, it doesn't matter. You believe, Abby? He that believeth. Whosoever believeth. Satan believeth too. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So like we see in verse 6 of Romans chapter 9, not all that are Christians that are of Christ. There are some Christians that are not of Christ. And only those who are of Christ will go. And those who are of Christ, he gives them the Holy Ghost. And there are people that are in the church that have no Holy Ghost. And how do we know? By their fruits. We shall know them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Even this example enough is even enough. That is why salvation is not for all. For the foundation of God standeth having this seed. The Lord knoweth them that are his. The Bible in Colossians chapter 1 verse 27 speaks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise the Lord. You are not a Christian until you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is the eternal life. Okay. I hope I've answered our sister from Saudi Arabia. God bless you. Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
There's a message that Pastor Thomas preached. In that message, he said that there are people that the topic of that message is laborer in the marketplace. So he said there are people that we are called both in the morning, afternoon, and night. So, and the people that we are called in the morning, they suffered, and both the people that we are called in the afternoon, they suffered actually. And he mentioned that those people, they tormented them and they suffered. To the extent that people that we are in congregation, we are joining them. And when they join them, they kill them also. And those people, God give them the white rose. And he now mentioned again that will happen in the day of Jacob the trouble, right? In the future again. So now, but we know that without that this Holy Ghost, without internal life, this heaven we will not make heaven. My question now is, those people that God give the white rose, did they receive Holy Ghost? Because we were taught that unless you have the Holy Ghost, that is the only spirit that will take you to heaven. My question now is, those people, both the people that are going to unfold in the future, are they going to receive Holy Ghost or did they receive Holy Ghost? Those people.
Thomas, can I answer it? Now you teach us. He was quoting Matthew 20, isn't it?
Yes.
By the parable of the laborers.
Laborers in the marketplace.
Yes, and he was trying to let you know that the same thing that happened in church history now, that in the time of Jacob's trouble, that is the last 3.5 years of after the rapture, 7 years left. The first 3.5 years is the period of the Antichrist sitting in the temple and things like that going on, and the two prophets in Revelation chapter 11 prophesying and then opening the eyes of the Jews. Revival is coming back to Israel. The salvation is coming back to Israel. And then the Antichrist will endure it for 3.5 years. The last 3.5 years before Christ will come with us that went in the rapture. The time of Jacob's trouble. That is the time of great tribulation, such as has never been known before. Now, he's saying that these ones and those who started before, he's saying that you discover that there are people in the first church age, second church, in the time of the red horse rider, where they face persecution. Go and read a book I have referred to several times, Fox's Book of Martyrs, and see how believers were killed. Notice the four beasts in Revelation chapter 4 before the throne. The first beast was a lion. The second beast was what? An ox. The ox there, that was the anointing that was released that enabled them to go through the persecution in the time of the red horse rider. So, now where I am going is this. We hear stories, which is what I believe Pastor Thomas referred to. I have not heard the message, but the same revelation we have. So I can imagine what he must have told you. Now listen. Listen. There was a time that they would gather believers. The Roman people. Rome. Babylon. Ho! Gathered believers. They will bring them to an arena. Like a stadium. That is where stadium began. In the days of the gladiators, they will starve lions. Starve them for days. Then gather hundreds of believers. And then gather people to come and see these heretics. They call them heretics. That are not fit to live. And then they will now release them. And then those lions will be released. They'll bring them to that arena and release those lions to feast on them. Tear them to pieces. Now, but there was an anointing that was released that instead of the believers to be afraid and say, denounce Jesus Christ, instead, they were running inside, saying, let us die like those people are dying also. Now you know that it was not a normal person. No normal person will see that and enter. And that's why they are seen wearing white robes. So your question is, did they also receive the Holy Ghost? I am telling you that the Holy Ghost in that age was that ox anointing. They received it. They received the Holy Ghost. It will take the Holy Ghost for somebody to say, I will die for Jesus. And submit himself to die. When you see the killing people, they jump by themselves and say, that is a glorious death. I want to die that type of glorious death and meet my Savior. They were born again. And it was only those who, because not everybody that enter. Some sit down there, but some jump in. And it is by the Holy Ghost they were doing it. God bless you.
Thanks the Lord. My second question, the same message that Pastor Thomas preached. He said that before that there's an existing religion here in Israel called Judaism before Christian came. Then he now said that after that they have so many mysticism. Then but my emphasis is that he said that there are so many temples that were built. They were not giving those temples. This God is your own. This God is your own. But there is one temple that was built. And that one was, there was no, they built that one to unknown God. And that was where Apostle Paul started his own ministry. My question now is, that unknown temple, is it the temple of the Most High God, the living God? Why Apostle Paul started his own ministry from that place?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. I think where you are referring to is Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 17, actually. Acts chapter 17. Paul. Praise the Lord. he was being confronted. If you read it from verse 16, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry, where therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Others, he seemed to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We will know therefore what these things mean. Now see where we are going. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Your question is, who is the unknown God?
Yes, sir.
Well, it depends on the context of your question. These unbelievers, Gentiles in Athens, they have so many gods, God for everything. Until in case there is one where we don't know, where still exists, let's raise one altar for him. And they call it to the unknown God. Now because we don't know you, now we know raise one for you. So if you exist, see your own here. And Paul the preacher took advantage of that and said, the unknown God, I want you to know him now. And use it to preach Christ. Because if they have known Christ, they will not serve other gods. What is your question? I've answered you. Thank you. Yes.
I really believe your teachings on...
Can we have more volume on that microphone, please?
I said I really believe your teachings on water baptism.
Thank
should
you.
Be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
But at times I get worried when I see some of my friends that are Christians. They are not baptized in the name of Jesus. Yet they are very devoted. They are highly spiritual, not morally minded. They are highly spiritual, and they are judging them by the fruits of the Spirit. They have the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Yet, they are not baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Mm.
And the amazing thing is the encounters they have with Christ, they are highly uncommon encounters.
Mm.
Yet, they are not baptized in the name of Christ.
Mm.
I want to know what's their faith.
The answer is in Romans chapter 10. Me too, they think the way they think. Romans chapter 10. Apostle Paul concerning Jews. My one. Brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. That's the answer. Before you see those ones, Paul don't see some too before. Very zealous. But that zeal is not according to knowledge. Yes, let me complete that. See the next verse. The next verse is very important. For they, verse 3, for they be ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. The emphasis there is, the zeal is not according to knowledge, because they are ignorant of God's righteousness. And you say, and they receive visitations. I want you to note that Ishmael, the angel of God, gave prophecy concerning him. And he was blessed mightily. And I want you to know that Abraham had two groups of children. Those from the concubines and the promised child, Isaac. And just before he died, he called them to bless them. I'm talking about the church. Anytime you see me, they make reference to Old Testament story. Bring it to the New Testament so that you'll understand what is going on among us today. Abraham there is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He called the children of the concubine. They are his children, though. They are Christians. They are his children. He gave them gifts. But to Isaac, what did he give? All. I'm quoting Genesis chapter 25, the first five verses there. He gave Isaac all, that is, gave him gifts, plus told him some other things that those other concubine children did not know. What is the evidence? The evidence is that after the Pentecost, after the release of the Holy Ghost, after the restoration of the gifts in 1906, after this Pentecostal age was ushered in again, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. To prove the difference between Isaac and the children of the concubines, what happened? Isaac, go to chapter 26. He went to the same wells that his father, Abraham, dug. After the man died, the Philistines went with earth and stopped all the wells. One of the things that Abraham told Isaac as he was dying was the position of the wells and the names of the wells. In Genesis chapter 26, the difference, we don't hear anything again about those children of the concubines. They were going about playing around with the gifts, but there was an Isaac that went to look for those wells. They baptized as the forefathers are baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Every doctrine of our apostolic fathers, there is an Isaac today going back to them and digging them back again. And digging them back again. One by one. Digging them back again. That's the difference between the two of them. While we are here busy coming back to the Bible, back to Christianity, back to the mystery of salvation, back to the divine timetable, back to all that we need to know to prepare us for the rapture, in response to the shout, they are there with gifts, anointing, gifts, and know nothing that very soon the rapture will still strike, and they don't even know the process for the rapture, that the rapture has started and they don't even know it. That is the difference between Isaac and so that person there, if you want to know whether is an elect or not, given the word test, you will know whether it has the Holy Ghost or it is self-righteousness. Because there is self-righteousness. And remember that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. So that they have the same gift that we have doesn't matter. Praise the Lord. So William Branham was the one that taught us how to know them. Anyone that is displaying any type of anointing or anything like that, he said, go, if you see the person doing anything wrong, that person, give them, call them, teach them, say, which type of baptism did you baptize? Then you go know whether you get Holy Ghost or not. God bless you. Yes.
Amen. Shalom, church. I'm very happy to be in this fellowship tonight. By the special grace of God, I'm from the Spoken Word End Time Ministry.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And we are Pastor Chris.
Yes, sir.
Okay, God bless.
Yes, sir. And there was a question a brother asked in our church. He said, because Pastor used to tell us that there was a time God was not God. So I asked Pastor the same question. But the answer he gave, that brother was still not satisfied.
What was the answer?
According to Pastor Chris, he said there was a time God was not God. So the brother,
what was the answer?
The answer he gave was this: that actually a God is an object of worship. That a time was there that God, as in then he has not created angels, so there was nobody to worship him. So he was just what we refer to him as the Elohim, the self-existing one. Everything was inside of him. So when I told the brother this and he heard it from his own mouth, he was still not convinced. He said he should stop saying that word, that there was a time God was not God. So the brother referred me to Genesis chapter 1 that said in the beginning God created. So I want, the brother is here with me tonight.
You know, you will have taken the brother back to Pastor Chris. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm shocked. Pastor Chris studies a lot. He's one of those I proudly call my son in the ministry.
Yes, he always tells us that.
Yes. Let me tell you, he was correct. If that brother is still here, give him microphone so that if there's a follow-up question, I can answer. Can you please stand up? Just in case there is a follow-up to my answer so that you don't bother him when you leave here again. Can we clap our hands for our God? Give him microphone. Are you coming today for the first time?
No.
Huh?
No, sir. I'm a customer.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, the word God is an English word, right?
Yes, sir.
What's the meaning of God?
God is an object of worship.
An object of worship.
Yes.
Something that is not worshipped, is it God?
No.
But that thing can decide to be God.
Yes.
How will he become God?
For somebody to worship him.
No, I'm only turning you around the same thing. I'm only turning you around.
I know.
I expected you to say the only thing is to cause something to worship him. That's the answer. Yes. If that thing was not God, it cannot be God until something is worshiping you. Okay? And the angels were not created before God existed. God first existed first as a self-existing one that had attributes in him and has to express those attributes. And it is still the expression of those attributes that led to his creating Adam and Eve, and it is still to express those attributes that he led man to fall so that something else concerning him can be expressed. So he was not God, but for that attribute of being an object of worship expressed, he created the angels for the sole purpose of worshiping him. That was when he became God.
Thank you, but according to what you say, in case there is a follow-up question.
That's why I say you should come.
Sir, going by the scripture, I think, let me say, by what I understand, I think it is wrong to put it this way. That is the way I'm getting it wrong. That there was a time, and you still put the word God was not God.
I am referring to, if I say, what's your name?
Brother Chinedu.
There was a time that this Chinedu was not a human being. Am I correct? There was a time that Chinedu was not Chinedu. Am I correct?
There was a time.
There was Chinedu. A time that Chinedu was not Chinedu. Yes. You only became Chinedu after your mother gave you the name, your father gave you the name Chinedu.
Yes. But amen, Charles.
Am I correct?
Amen, Charles.
Am I correct? There was a time that you were baby. Then one day Chinedu became Chinedu. There was a time that God was not God. I am making, you are speaking English. I want you to know who I am talking about. that this one that we call God today, that there was a time that he was not God. There was a time he started to become God that we are referring to as God today. That's the meaning of me saying there was a time God was not God.
Sorry, sir. One more thing before I allow us, because it has lingered and I truly want to be cleared. Sir, if there is nothing that begins before God, I mean God begins everything, I think to me it is wrong to say that God that began before everything begins was not God. Rather, I said there was a time men did not know him as God.
God bless you. I came down the best I can by first and foremost letting you know that God is not the name of God. Am I correct? Is God his name?
No.
It's a reference point. There are other gods that exist, isn't it? Am I correct?
Yes.
What made them gods? What made them gods?
Because they are being worshipped.
Because they are being worshipped. Before you are worshipped, can you be called God? That's why we say, this God that we call God now, there was a time that he was not God. He cannot be referred to as God because there was nothing to worship him. What is confusing about it?
Which means, I'm right to say, it is only when men begin to worship him.
Not men. He created angels for purpose of worshiping him.
Yeah.
They were worshiping him for millions of years before man was created.
Exactly. Alright, it's still the same thing. Since nobody worships him yet, he is still what he is.
Of course, is Chinedu not a human being even when he was a baby? But was he Chinedu? You became Chinedu only when that name was given to you. So if I say there was a time that Chinedu, you were not Chinedu. Am I wrong?
Wow.
God bless you. Next person. Tony Martins from United Arab Emirates. Shalom, church. Daddy, I am happy the way you answered the sister trousers question, but need more help. What will I do as my wife is not yet a bright believer and still wears the trouser which I bought for her before I believed, after I came across this church in January this year? Can we clap our hands now? Praise the Lord. My answer for you is pray that God who opened your eyes of understanding will also open her eyes. You don't force her to drop her trouser because you have caught a revelation. You are to preach to her and you are to pray that God will cause her to see what you have seen. Don't you ever let your revelation cause problem at home. It is wrong. By love, you show her love, because if you say you have caught a revelation, then it will also flow with your character. The sweetness of your character, since you came across us, will make her to believe that you have been converted. And very soon, she will listen to you as you also pray with her. God bless you. You don't begin to take a pig whose nature has not been changed to the nature of a sheep and bring her and then force the pig to act like a sheep. No, the nature has to change. So pray that her nature is changed so that she can believe what you believe. Thank you for United Arab Emirates. Yes, sister.
Praise the Lord.
Uh-huh.
I read a scripture concerning Esau and Jacob.
Yes.
And there was a place where Esau the younger brother to Jacob. Jacob, the younger brother to Esau, needed his help. It's like he got fainted. So he told the brother, Jacob, to help him with water to drink so that he could survive. Esau forced him. He persuaded the younger, the elder brother, that promise me that you will sell your position for me. I mean, you will hand over your position for me. And at last, he finally handed over his position as a first son to the younger brother. And it happened that when their father was about to bless them, Esau was the best. He was the person to be blessed most. But it happened that it was Jacob. Why was it happening that way? God, I used to ask myself. And the second question is that, why are parents not naming their child Esau, but they keep naming Jacob? And I mean, why are they not? I want to know.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Esau is the senior son, the first son. So he has the birthright of the firstborn. But he, Esau, one day saw his junior brother Jacob was with food and he was hungry and begged him. And Jacob took advantage of it. I know you like food too much. I will use this now, finish you. Collect that birthright. And then forced him, using his condition, the situation, to sell the birthright. Now, in the olden days in Israel, these people were so close to God. God was among them, such that every word you say, there are certain things you say that you must be very, very careful. Even names they were given to their children must have a meaning. And watch it, that child will always grow and then manifest and live his life with characteristic, you know, of the meaning of that name. And so Esau sold his birthright. And of course, the mother, who loved Jacob so much, witnessed what was going on. And when Jacob was, Isaac was about to die, Rebecca, amen, heard what the father was telling Esau, the senior one, I want to release this blessing now to you. Go and do something for me that my mind goes sweet well. And the mother heard it and quickly told Jacob, after all, he has sold the birthright. Useless man. She not like him before, sir. Now she arranged it. And when it was time, we know the trick. Jacob quickly came before Esau landed and collected that blessing. And it came to pass. God keeps enforces agreement. God keeps, make sure that you keep your vow. The Bible says Esau took it for granted and he sought for it with tears, but it was too late. He has lost it and lost it forever. That's why Apostle Paul said we should walk out our salvation with fear and trembling. And he said, he who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. We should be careful and don't sell your birthright. You will regret it later. I hope that's your question.
Second one is that. Is that why mothers choose to love one of the children?
Who will like a profane person? When you name your child after somebody, what you're actually saying is you want your son, your child, to be like that person. You know, maybe you love Michael Jackson too much. So when you born a son, you say Michael Jackson. That is why people know how today God blessed Jacob and see the great nation that they are today. So, if you want your son too to be blessed, then you also call him Israel. Those who have revelation, they won't call him Jacob. God changed that name from Jacob. You see the giver. Jacob means 419, supplanter, cheat. Because right from the womb, he has been looking for that birthright from the womb. From the womb. Two nations are in your womb. And they were fighting themselves until they manifested, until he collected, he won. Praise the Lord. People are still saying Jacob. The name Jacob. Every Jacob here changed to Israel in Jesus' name. Israel means a priest with God. Thank you.
And could that be the cause of, in some families, second son happened to be more progressive than the elder one?
No, Lila. That's nothing to do with us. God was using that for a reason. He was using that story to teach us something. Second son can never be better than first son. What makes you who you are? We are talking about birthright. Once you are the first, you are the first. You can't become second. You are the first. And it's not by your making. Now so God bring you to be the first. No matter how smart the second son is, he is still second, not first. God bless you, yes? Okay, there's a question on the screen. This one is from Nigeria here. Sir, please. It's an SMS. What is the end time message? I want to know, please explain. Sonny from Deeper Life Church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is the end time message, is the message that God Himself has sent to the church just before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the message. And it is expressed severally in the Bible. The first place we see is the parable of the foolish and the wise virgin in Matthew chapter 25. And while the bridegroom tarried, all the virgins went to sleep. Verse 6, it says, but at midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. The bridegroom is the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold the bridegroom, that is, it means there will be a message pointing people to the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Apostle Paul, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16, he used the word shout. Jesus Christ in Matthew 25 used the word cry. But Apostle Paul said there are three stages of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It begins with a shout. For the Lord himself, verse 16, shall descend with a shout and the voice of an earth angel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive shall be changed in a moment. And the emphasis there is the shout or the cry. It is the end time message. Telling the people, wake up from your slumber. He is coming. And remember, there was a prophecy. Praise the Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 says that Christ will not come except there come a falling away first. Before Christ will come, people will leave Bible Christianity. And it is that Bible Christianity they have left. Apostle Paul, in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, he said, examine yourself. If you be in the faith there is the apostolic fathers, knowing that before Christ will come, that people will depart from Bible Christianity and then go into what you see happening today in fulfillment of that prophecy. For instance, in the Bible days, there is, you will not see anything like that supports the doctrine of three persons in one God. I am facing your own church where you come for what you people believe. Praise the Lord. And also, there's nothing that supports, you know, the only titles that are in the Bible for leadership in the Church of Jesus Christ, they are in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11. Apostle, you are either an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, or a teacher. Any other title is wrong. And it is wrong also for a man to set up ministry like business with the headquarters and branches where you appoint and post pastors and give them salary. It is wrong. They collect tithe and offering and send it to the headquarters. It is wrong. It is wrong to ordain women pastors. Praise the Lord. And the church must not be a family business, you and your wife. It is wrong. Praise the Lord. And this confusion was going on. No more holiness in the church. And knowing this, God reserved a ministry. Because he will build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 17 in the transfiguration. When they saw Moses and Elijah, the disciples asked Jesus, why then did the scribe Moses, why did the scribe say that Elijah must first come? They were making reference to Malachi chapter 4. That before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, I will send Elijah, the prophet, to do something. To turn the heart of the fathers to the children, the heart of the children to the fathers. It's a restoration ministry. Praise the Lord. It's a restoration ministry. And that scripture was fulfilled in this age. When in 1933, God came down openly before thousands of witnesses. And a man, that pillar of fire that came on that man, William Marion Brown, and a voice spoke, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun my first coming, so are you giving the message that shall forerun my second coming? That is the end time message. What is the end time message saying? Come out of the denominational system and come back to Bible Christianity. That is the end time message. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the reason why we baptize like the apostles baptized. That's the reason why we don't have headquarters. That's the reason why we don't ordain women pastors. And that's the reason why in this church, it is not a one-man ministry. It is a five-fold ministry. That's why also we allow the gifts to flow. We allow prophecies in the church. We allow healing and deliverance in the church. These signs shall follow them that believe. They are restored. The signs are restored again. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is the end time message. God bless you.
Church, praise the Lord. There is a question that a man meet me one day, and he asked me this question, and we tried to trace it in the Bible. At the end of the day, we couldn't get the answers. Since ever there, any time I remember it, it bothers me. He asked me this question. He said, after God created man and woman, that was Adam and Eve, then after that, Adam and Eve give birth to Cain and Abel and Shah. That after that, when Cain killed his brother, Cain left to a north, a east side that's called north.
North. Yes.
Yes. He said then he got his wife. He said this woman that called Geth, that where was this woman from? And who created this woman? Were there other beings before Cain and Abel and the father?
You see, everybody, they know the question you want to ask. So all of them, they know the answer.
So
and you have been tracing the answer. Which church are you from?
So I want to know.
Answer me now. Which church are you from?
I don't have a church, sir.
You don't have a church?
Yes, sir.
That's the reason why you will remain in confusion. Because if you had a church, you would have asked your pastor. Because you don't have a church. So how will you be led? Don't you know there's fivefold ministry? There are teachers. There are apostles. Yes, there are pastors.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says, for the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edification of the body. Uh-huh. So it's not good to stay alone. You don't have church. You're a wandering star. That's what the Bible calls you. Praise the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Please, have you been baptized?
Yes, I'm baptized.
Where?
That was 1998.
Which church?
I was baptized from Jesus, from Shalom Evangelical Outreach Ministry, from Cross River State.
How long did you do baptismal class?
It was up to 1 month.
Are you sure you passed?
Yes. That was the old day.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, you have to obey, you have to believe the Bible account that apart from Adam and Eve, no other human being existed. Do you believe it?
Yes, sir.
Now, that understanding lets you also believe what I want to explain to you. Now, the Bible says that Adam had other sons and daughters. Correct?
Yes.
And as at that time until recently, there was nothing wrong about you marrying your sister. Correct?
Yes, sir.
And at that time, they lived 600 years.
Yes, sir.
700 years.
Yes, sir.
And between, I remember that the conception of the woman was multiplied.
Yes, sir.
Correct?
Yes, sir.
So it's possible that every year, a woman could born a child. Correct?
Yes, sir.
And these are people that were living 600 years, 700 years. So, it is very simple. Cain came and married his sister from the line of Seth.
Praise the Lord, sir.
That's it.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes.
In there, the Sheol was the last born of
Seth.
Seth was the last born of Adam and Eve.
I say Seth also had sons and daughters. Is it, am I true?
Yes, sir.
The Bible says so.
Yes, sir.
Let's open it. Genesis chapter 5, verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years. And he begat. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
He. Who is that he? Adam. He begat what? He begat what?
Sons and
brother,
daughters.
Talk now.
Begat sons and daughters.
Who begat sons and daughters?
Adam.
Adam begat sons and daughters.
Yes,
according
sir.
To that scripture.
Yes, sir. But before then, Cain have already gotten married in chapter 4.
What makes you think so?
It says the Bible said yes that then Cain went out. That's chapter 4, verse 16. It says Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod.
God bless you, sir.
Of Eden.
God bless you.
Verse 17. It says and Cain knew his wife. And it's contained.
Yes, sir. I said chapter 5. The first line there, what does it say?
The first line there, it says, this is the book of... The first line in chapter 5.
Yes.
This is the book of the genealogies of...
Okay, life. Let me read it for you. This is the book of the generation So he's giving you history of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God, made he him. So he's telling you the family history of Adam. Yes. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
So he's not saying that chapter 5 is continuation of chapter 4. Chapter 5 is going beyond chapter 4. It's telling you the history.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
God bless you. So, my second question is that pertaining to rapture. I want to ask like our ancestors, like the people that were faithful with God, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, David, Moses, and so forth, even Paul, Peter. I want to know that I've died. Are they in heaven or are they still in the grave waiting for rapture?
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
All the saints, faithful saints, from Abel, in fact, all of them from Adam, down, up till the death of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 27, before the resurrection of Jesus Christ, graves were open. Why? Because they were buried and they were in Hades. 3 days that Jesus Christ died, according to the Bible, he went down to the region of the dead. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
What William Branham spoke in trying to explain that what Jesus Christ did. Praise God.
On beyond the moon and stars he went with the Old Testament saints. Oh, what a victorious march that must have been. With the real conqueror. After a while they come in sight of that glorious city. Abraham says to Sarah, come here, honey. And she gets Isaac and comes along. Isaac gets Jacob. Jacob gets Joseph. And he says, that's that city that Daddy saw, whose builder and maker is God. I walked about on the earth looking for a city to come whose builder and maker was God. And now I'm coming near the gate. Although the great man that they were, they could not conquer it. It taken one to come down to do the conquering. Though Abraham conquered difficult, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, but there was only one who could conquer sin. That was him, the Lord Jesus. And as they seen the light from the inside the city, and the great pearly gates are shining, Jesus in the forefront, marching on. And the angels begin to ascend to the top of the buildings. And they look coming. And the Old Testament saints cried out, open up ye everlasting gates, and be ye open, and let the King of glory come in, the mighty conqueror. And the angel screamed back and said, who is this King of glory? And the Old Testament saints cried out, the Lord of hosts, mighty in battle. And the gates come open, and he placed at the gate the old rugged cross. And every man or woman ever comes into that gate will have to bow before that cross and recognize him as the mighty one.
He arose. He arose. He is risen. He is risen. Christ is risen. He's alive. Glory. Hallelujah. You know what he did? Those 3 days that he died under the earth there, he went to the region. There they were separated into two because the perfect sacrifice had not been offered. So they were there. That was why he went there. Praise the Lord. What he went to do was to go and preach to them. Amen. Anyway, what he did was, remember he had the keys of hell and death, made an open show of Satan, and then he took them from that place where they were, where the righteous were kept, took them and brought them together with him and took them up, and they are in paradise waiting for you and for me. Not you. You not going to church. Waiting for all of us that we go in the rapture. Will you go?
Yes, sir.
You will go?
Yes, sir.
Have you received the Holy Ghost?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. The mighty conqueror. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And that is where they are. So when you say, are they in heaven now? Technically, they are not yet in heaven because they will not go before us. They are the ones that will come with Jesus Christ. We will meet them up there in the air. Together, we go there and be with Christ. So that is where they are. Where they are is paradise. While the rest are left in the grave, we, our souls, are in paradise. That is where we will be if we die now, waiting for the day of rapture, when Christ will come and then take us to be where he is. The mighty conqueror. That's the story of the cross. That's the story of the cross. The story of the cross. A lot of people don't know. They thought they have finished Jesus Christ. They covered him up, buried him, and they thought he's finished. They put Roman soldiers, they guard the grave. But unknown to him, he was going to complete his assignment for coming to earth. Oh, glory be to God. Praise the Lord. That's why that songwriter says, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit praise his name.
For death to God
hold him captive,
even in the grave.
Jesus is Lord,
oh,
he moves in the grave.
Jesus is Lord,
my soul
was magnified, the Lord.
Oh,
my spirit
praises
him.
For death
will not hold him captive,
even in the grave.
Jesus is Lord,
even in the grave.
Jesus.
I read.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Street. And God said, let there be light, and there was light.
Yes. What's your argument?
It's not like an argument.
Okay, what's your understanding?
My understanding. There is a quality in God that makes God God. He's the God that began the very beginning. If he was not God, he wouldn't have said, let there be light, and they will obey him. Even the earth obeyed him. Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I don't think you were following my explanation. See, I want you people to see, listen very well. You know, listen. There is a way we preachers, when we want to catch your attention, very well, we will say certain things so that we wake you up. What did they talk? So that you will listen very well. There's a message that I preach, and I title it a very unusual title, Deceived by God. So, sister, can God deceive? Answer.
No.
You see? But I can show you in the Bible that God can deceive. You understand? Go and get the tape. Can somebody give me that tape, Deceived by God? Let me give this sister. Go and bring one copy for me. I want to give you, so you go and listen to it. You will see that, and there are Christians today that God has deceived. And I prove it from the Bible. Now, so I put that title just as our track. Of all the titles we shall choose for our track, we say, warn your pastor. So if you say, hey, how can I warn my pastor? Hey, that's to make you read what you write there. So when we say there was a time that God was not God, so that is to quicken you to know deeper than you know about this God. Do you understand? That makes you to know deeper. Give up. Now it is to awaken you to say, what do you mean? Interesting thing there is that there was a time, praise the Lord, if you don't exist first, can you create?
No.
So, what is the meaning of God? If you have nothing worshipping you, can you be called God?
To that extent, I would say yes. But, if he was not God, wait, there's a difference between power and authority. That authority in him made those element to obey him.
When did they obey him? Before he existed or after he existed? Listen, church. Listen, sister. I think you are missing something. It is not because he's a creator that makes him God. I'm saying another one again. It is not because he's a creator that makes him God. Because it's not every God that can create. Am I correct? It is because he created something, that's why he became a creator. So there was a time he was not a creator. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But this was a God. This was a spirit. The Bible says God is a spirit. He was first a spirit. Then he created objects that began to worship him, that now made him God. God is a title. Praise the Lord. God is a title because is something worshiping him. That's why. So before he became God, he was not God. Are you clear, sister? Yes. You want to contribute something?
Praise the Lord, church.
Yes.
Sister, there is something I understand. Maybe I understand their problem. But if I understand Pastor correctly, God, sometimes we confuse ourselves because it's not like this creation didn't just start a day, tomorrow, next tomorrow. No. God has been existing as Elohim for God knows years without any creation. I want you, maybe if you understand it in that way, you will understand the point Pastor is making. That time he was just there, no life, no earth, no heaven, nothing. It's just God, self-existing one, Elohim. That time, will you call him God? That's the question, Pastor. That's the point Pastor is trying to make. At that point, nothing, no other creation, not even the earth, not even the heaven, not even this element that you are calling that obeyed him. None of them.
Thank you.
So, and the
thing. Thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Bring that microphone. I want to ask this sister something again. Just one question. If you don't catch it now, you will never catch it again. See, don't think I'm trying to lower the omnipotence of God. Instead, I am trying to make you know him the more. See, there is what you call attributes. Eh? Okay. Do you have children? Eh? What do they call you? What's your name? Talk to the microphone. Maybe I'm too close.
Onyeka.
Onyeka. Sister Onyeka. Your children, they call you mother. So you are mama. Right?
Yes.
Right? There was a time, this mama, if I tell the children, there was a time that your mother was not a mother. Am I correct?
Yes.
Imerigo. Eh? Okay.
Imerigo.
Imerigo. So she understands now. Praise the Lord. That's why I said this one I talk now. You don't understand, you will never understand again. Okay. Yes, sir. Who's next? Yes? Okay. There is another SMS. He said, Church Shalom, this is from Nigeria here. How do I know I have the Holy Ghost? Because I have never fallen under anointing once. What am I to do? When you go to church, fall down under anointing. Praise the Lord. That is part of the things that God sent the entire message to correct. We're talking about the evidence of the Holy Ghost. The evidence of the Holy Ghost. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is not that you fall down the anointing. There are people that are falling down the anointing and they don't have the Holy Ghost. But they have a ghost. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, let's to be more serious. Whoever asked that question, and maybe anybody listening to me, I have taught it here several times. When you speak about the evidence of the Holy Ghost, listen, you will only begin to identify the evidence of the Holy Ghost when you first start with what is the Holy Ghost given for? What is the purpose of the Holy Ghost? Why does God give us the Holy Ghost? When you see that purpose achieved, then you say, that is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is not given to us so that we will speak in tongues. The Holy Ghost is not given to us so that we shall cast out demons. The Holy Ghost is not given to us so that we shall fall down the anointing. No! The purpose of the Holy Ghost, I have never fallen down under anointing. But that does not mean I don't have the Holy Ghost. I know better. The purpose of the Holy Ghost is to transform a sinner to a saint, to give you the ability to live a life that is pleasing before God. That is the purpose of the Holy Ghost. That's why he says, a man be in Christ. He's a new creature. How do you come to be in Christ? 1 Corinthians 1, verse 12, verse 13. He says, for by one spirit are you baptized into Christ. By the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you become a Christian. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can never be a Christian. Why? Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of these. Praise the Lord. So, you are to watch. There is the fruit of the Spirit. That is the evidence that you have the Holy Ghost. And it is there in Galatians. Now listen, church. The Pentecostals especially have sensationalized the Holy Ghost. But I'm telling you that there are people, yes, there is the manifestation of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. When you have the Holy Ghost, it manifests itself through the gifts. Amen. Nine of them there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Praise the Lord. But listen, above all, it is the fruit. A tree, the Bible said, amen, is known by the fruit. When you see a tree, you want to know whether it is mango or not, go to the fruit. You know whether it's a mango or a tomato, they hang for three. So you have to understand that. How was I living my life before? Now that I am in Christ, is there any change? If there is no change, you don't have the Holy Ghost. You are not struggling to live a life pleasing before God. It's automatic. That's why I say, if you say I don't have the Holy Ghost, you are not to tell me I have the Holy Ghost. I know I have the Holy Ghost. I know the dirty life I was living before I came to Christ. Praise the Lord. And also, another evidence you have the Holy Ghost is your ability to be obedient to the Spirit. Yes, now. Live a life pleasing before God. And when the truth is presented to you, there's something inside of you that accepts it. If you reject the Bible truth, then you don't have the Holy Ghost. And those that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Praise the Lord. He came to his own. The Bible says so. John chapter 1, verse 11, verse 12. He came to his own. His own received him not. That is the Jews. But as many of us have received him, to them gave he power to become what? The sons of God. And the power to become the sons of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The power that turns a sinner to a saint. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God bless you from wherever you call in Nigeria. Thank you. Yes?
Praise the Lord. Yes. I want to ask a question. Based on the book of Isaiah chapter 61 verse 6. And the Bible makes us to understand that the riches of the Gentiles belong to the people of God. And we come to understand personally that the Gentiles are those who does not know God and who made their money in a dubious way.
I'm sorry, don't pick a scripture out of context. Read it in here. Read it. Isaiah 66. Correct?
61.
61. Read it from verse 1.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Yes.
Because the Lord had anointed me to preach good tidings.
Yes.
Unto the meek.
Yes.
And he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted.
Yes.
To proclaim liberty to the captives.
Yes.
And the opening of the prisons to them that are bound. Uh-huh. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion.
Uh-huh.
To give unto them beauty for ashes.
Uh-huh.
The oil of joy
uh-huh.
for mourning.
Let me read it again. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And it is talking about the restoration of Israel. When Israel shall be restored to receive her Messiah, and they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations. The former desolations are those desolations that took place after AD 70. And they shall repair the waste cities that were destroyed when they were taken away in dispersion. The desolations of many generations, because it took long. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Are the Palestinians not the one going now to rebuild Jerusalem? Who are the workers there in their construction sites? I know the Palestinians. Praise God. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. And in their glory shall you boast yourselves. And Pentecostal prosperity preachers pick that statement to collect money from 419, from cocaine pushers, from everybody, ritual killers, and say that the riches of the Gentiles shall be our own. It's not so and so, because I can show you another scripture where after Ezekiel 38 and 39 is fulfilled, that the temple that will be built before the millennium will start, the temple that Christ is coming to sit and rule the earth, it will be built after that war. And the Bible says, Saudi Arabia and those Arab nations, they will bring their wealth. They will bring the money that they will use in building the temple. That is the riches of the Gentiles that will be used. It's not talking about us. But we also know that what applies there, we can also apply it to us. But in applying it to us in this grace age, you must be careful how you appropriate that statement. That statement is meant for the Jews. I heard one prophet on television. I was talking about Nehemiah, and he said something. He was preaching that Nehemiah was asked to go and dip how many times? 7 times in the Jordan River. And there it is, because that the problem that was facing Nehemiah was from 7 generations. You heard him too? You heard him. From 7 generations. There were 7 generational causes. There's nothing like that supports it. Nothing like that. Nehemiah was not suffering from any generational cause. If not, show me his father. Which one? What was it? Was he a leprous person? It's nothing like that. But you have to read this thing and appropriate it properly. Nehemiah is a type of the Gentile who were known as dogs, untouchable. Nothing more. And God was using that story to tell us that the church Gentiles will be cleansed and made whole when they go through 7 church ages washed by the water of the world. That's what it is. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are now in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. When he shall begin to sound, Revelation 10:7, the mystery of God should be finished. The completion of the washing of the water by the word of the Gentile bride. Seven church ages. Seven star messengers. Praise the Lord. Seven spirits of God. That's what the Naaman type. And it was at the word of a prophet. And that prophet was Elisha with a double Elijah. Okay, it was even Elijah the Tishbite. No, Elisha. It was Elisha that had a double portion of the anointing of Elijah. Praise the Lord. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. And that is the seventh angel that will finish the seventh bathing of the water of the world for the restoration of the church, preparing her for home going. Praise the Lord. Okay, God bless you. So that's how you appropriate it.
Okay, man.
Yes, sister.
Praise the Lord. I was here last week.
Talk to microphone.
Before the last.
Yes.
Came here. So I was baptized in the church here. So they gave me one.
That was your first time of coming.
Yes. No, you, a Sunday before that Tuesday.
Okay, came on Sunday, then that Tuesday was the first Tuesday.
Yes.
And you baptized.
Yes.
Can you clap your hands for Jesus now? God bless you.
So it's like I've been looking for a church like this since the time I
She has been looking for a church like this.
Become a born again.
What is the peculiarity about this church that you are looking for?
When I received a message from the cassette of Linda, a brother gave me that cassette. So I watched that cassette and I decided to change my life, give my life to Jesus.
Clap your hands now. That testimony is changing women.
So, there are many things I heard from that cassette. So I called the brother that gave me that cassette that I'm looking for a church that all these kind of things is existing. Because I don't want to, the former church I was going, we see people putting on trousers, mini skirt, all those things. I said, I don't want to go back to that church because when I start seeing
it was a, things, it doesn't matter church.
Sir?
It doesn't matter.
So I said, I don't want to go back to that church. And where I live in Ikotu, those are the kind of church that is surrounding us. So I said, I'm looking for the kind of church like
this. He directed you here.
He brought me here the Sunday before that Tuesday that I came here.
Yes.
He brought me here. I was going to Winner Chapel with him then. So when I did the baptism here, they gave me a paper that very day. So when I got home, titled one your pastor.
Uh-huh.
So I read a portion there that was telling us about women pastor. And everything in that Linda case that changed me, I believe it. Uh-huh. But there was a portion there that Linda gave a woman message in Sierra Leone.
Yes.
And that woman is a pastor. So another case that I watched, Sister Margaret, I also believe in that one too. So she said she has an encounter with God. And in that case, she said the reason God showed her that if she did not send her back, she will go to hell because of she used to keep malice with the husband.
Yes.
So and you told in that paper you said we should want our pastor and a woman pastor. You don't support it. So I asked that brother, I said, why is it like that? Does it mean God recognized those people he sent that message to? For instance, the one he said alone that he sent Linda to, that he's not preaching his word. And your own message, and I read it somewhere in the Bible, supporting your own message. So the answer he gave me is that maybe why God don't want women to be a pastor or take position in the church is that maybe they will not respect their husband, which I believe. They will want to be showing a kind of arrogance to their husband, which I believe. But now I'm not thinking in my mind that why is it that, why did God send Linda to a woman pastor instead alone? And that auntie that have an encounter with her, he didn't tell her that he didn't recognize her as the pastor.
Praise the Lord. That's a very serious question. Eh? Tell your neighbor, make me hear question. Push your neighbor. Chukam. Listen, sister. Praise the Lord. That is the question that you will have to ask God Himself. But the truth is this. I can also ask this same question. That I am aware that there are sisters sitting down in this church listening to me now that still wear trousers. Listen very well, though. They still wear trousers. Two sisters wearing trousers. The other one, God will come by Himself to her. You stop wearing trouser. A sister from CPM, Christian Pentecostal Mission, far before this ministry started, around 1991-92, in my office, she was my secretary. When I employed her, I knew she was going to CPM, but she was not palming her hair, she was not wearing a ring. I asked her, sister, why are you not wearing a ring? Why are you not palming your hair? I noticed so. There are people in your church. It's not a doctrine. It's not a fundamental doctrine in your church. She said it is a personal encounter she had. She said the day that God was telling her, she said she will wear, she was working somewhere in Lagos, in a company in Lagos. So when she goes down, she will put all her earrings and everything in her bag so that when she reaches office, she will go to the cleaning room and then dress up. Then she will drop her earring and she's wearing one. When she turns, she will not see the second one. She will vex, carry that one. She said the one where pain and pass, the one where cost too much. It disappeared. He said while she was getting angry, he said a voice spoke to her in the toilet and called her name. She turned and she said, he said, who is this? You don't see anybody. He said, you don't put those things on. She was a single sister. And she said that she was arguing with God in that experience she had. And she was saying that others put it on in the church. He said, don't palm your hair and don't wear earrings. And she said, but others were. She said, they can wear it, but you don't wear it. I will never forget that. You see? So why is God having double standard? Yes, he has double standard. One for churchgoers and the other one for his elect, whose names are in the book of life from the foundation of the world. So I want you to note, yes, God has double standard. Because he knows his own. Do you understand? Now I want you to also note that God knows there are some people that no matter how I tell them, they have made up their mind. So he will lead you to what you decide to hold on to. So why will Linda go to a woman and tell her about something, but something else she's doing, God decided to keep quiet? Does that mean he's supporting woman ministry? No. It is either of two reasons. It is either because he himself has already told her that aspect, but she turned it down. Or he wants to start with her small. When she finishes that one, then he will now come to her about the ministry, because there is timing for everything among us. That would be the reason. But I want you to know that there is the perfect will of God and there is the permissive will of God. The perfect will of God is the Bible. And the permissive will of God is anything else that seems contrary to the Bible, but it looks as if God is supporting it. It is permissive. But at the end, the perfect will of God stands against the permissive. God bless you. Yes. Okay, there's a message on the screen on Skype from Naledi Nolunga from Ireland. Shalom, church pastor. Is it acceptable to keep the image of Jesus Christ with long hair when the Bible says a man should not have long hair? And most pictures and videos Christians use is an image of a man with long hair. Praise the Lord. Now, it depends on your definition of long. Is somebody hearing me? What constitutes long and what length constitutes long and what length constitutes short? Amen. Praise the Lord. So, it is on that you will know whether Jesus has long hair or short hair. But Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, was saying that a woman naturally is created with longer hair than the man. And that when you see a man with long hair like a woman, it makes him look feminine, isn't it? And that no man wants to look feminine. So it's a shame. So, if you stand Jesus as a Jew with his natural hair, and you stand a female Jew, a woman, a Jewish woman, with her own hair, the length of that woman's hair will certainly be longer than the hair of Jesus Christ as a man. And those who point that picture, in the days of Jesus Christ, there were no photographers. Praise the Lord. So that picture, amen, is not, we cannot verify the authenticity of that picture. Amen. William Branham said he has seen Jesus several times, and that the closest of all those who draw the picture of Jesus is the picture of Hoffman, the head of Christ. And Hoffman was an artist that had an encounter with Jesus. And then from that experience, he quickly, you know, drew that picture that we saw. That emphasis should not be given to any picture. Emphasis should not be given to any picture. So if you draw a picture of Jesus Christ with long hair, very long hair like a woman, you don't know what you see for vision. Wait, take draw that one. His hair cannot be too long. Thank you, Neladi, from Ireland. Yes.
Thank you, sir. Please, I want to know if there's any Bible portion that somebody of certain age should not fast. Just say from 60.
There is none.
Because a friend.
There is none. I'm aware of. I'm not aware of any. AD 70. Is there any?
Okay. Sir. That's what I want to find out, because a friend of mine went to the mount and fasted for 40 days. After that, he had some problem with the nervous system. So I want to find out if there's any Bible quotation so that I will tell him not to try it again.
No, it's not because of the age. There are also younger people that went to the mountain after dry fasting. They died. They died. So... it's not age. I believe you could be having some other medical condition that fasting also, joined to complicate it, contributed to complicate the problem. And you should not fast. There's a statement that William Branham made that carnal and tormented believers are holding on to it and not fasting. William Branham said, I don't know if any of you have read the quote. William Branham said, when you are fasting and you are hungry, he said, cut it off. So enter message believers, they will teach. When you are fasting and you are hungry, cut it off. I say, what is fast if you are not hungry? They did not understand what he meant. They were quoting him out of context. Praise God. Okay. If you are not healthy enough, don't fast. Okay, sister.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Father, I just want to thank God for the courage of standing here. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
I want to thank God for giving you to me as my pastor. I'm so glad, so honored.
Amen. That means you don't wear trousers.
Praise
that
the
means
Lord.
You don't paint your face. That means all those things I preach you because... Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Other things is why I'm standing here.
Amen.
And I believe if anybody should come here and hear your words, your message, your teaching, and remain the same, it will be very difficult for that person to change in life. So, my question is not for you, sir. It's for pastor there. I just want you to rest for now.
Which? Make a rest?
Yes.
Okay, come. Come over. Where is it?
The pastor that did the opening prayer.
That did opening prayer. John
yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Pastor John Paul.
My pastor, sir.
God bless you.
I just want to thank you for honoring my invitation. My question goes to you now. Had it been you are my father spiritually, but in biological way you are my dad, and you always see me doing what you don't want me to do, every time you see me do what you want, that you don't like it. Is it the right way to caution me? Is it for you to rebuke me and take me out of your house? Is it the right way for you to bring me back to the right sense you want me, the way you want me to be?
I will rebuke you and bring you back.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. So you know why I ask you this question? The last time I came here, you were saying something here that you saw a sister, Stella, wearing trousers. And the sister was like, my pastor, you rebuke him, I'm not your pastor. And after rebuking her, did you call her back to tell her that you didn't mean it that way? Or you just rebuke her and just allow her to go like that? Will it help her to come close to God or to go back to God? Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, since that time, I have not seen that sister in the church. I looked for her, she has not been coming. Because if she's not the only person, most of the time I call them close and sit them down. Show them one or two slips of why you should not do this.
Okay. That's what I want to know.
No, let me also answer. If not me, I will rebuke you and send you out of my house.
Okay.
Yes, I will do that.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
After sending my
you are my son and you want to disgrace me. Stay outside and disgrace yourself.
Okay.
Not stay in my house and disgrace me. I will rebuke you and send you out of my house.
On the process, Nana, I now got into a big trouble.
Can I tell you something? It is there in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Apostle Paul says you should send that person out. So it is scriptural. You rebuke the person and send the person away from the church.
Well, I didn't believe that.
Eh?
That.
You say?
Believe that.
No, whether you believe it or not, it depends on what will happen to you when I send you away. Now, listen. You have to understand something here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I say, somebody was caught in fornication. They left him in the church. Apostle Paul had it. And he said they should send him out. In the church, there is provision for excommunication. And the purpose is to let the person realize you have done something wrong. So that you can repent. I am not the one to draw you back. You are the one to come back to me and ask for forgiveness. The sign that you have repented. That is how it is done. God bless you. God bless you. Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the living Jesus. First of all, my name is Dolapo. Another thing is that today is my first day of hearing about the name of this church.
Today is your first time of hearing the name of this church.
And
first day, clap your hands now. How did you hear about it? Where did you hear about it?
My fiancé used to go to make her hair somewhere, and the woman introduced her to this place. And since then, she has been troubling me. That let's come.
Amen.
I said, come on, these churches of nowadays, you know what they do? That I don't want to.
Until you landed here today.
When I landed, I didn't feel my spirit. But when you started with interactive questions, I was like, wow.
Clap your hands now. So you want to be part of the interaction now? So what's your question?
So my question goes thus. About four questions. Maybe
so,
I just like...
You are coming for the first time, you want to ask four. Ask all the four together. Let me hear
that's
you.
That's what I want to do now. Yeah. I want you to put more light and to tell me if there is it is Bible based, because anything that is not Bible based is baseless. So I want to know this: bathing, as in bathing in the stream. If pastor asks you to bathe in the stream and give you some certain things to mix inside an oily oil and give you a certain soap to bath particularly at a particular time, is it biblical or what? That's number one. Number two is?
Number one is not biblical. It's not scriptural. That is ritualistic. It's not. Second question.
So second question. In the Bible, I know of many people and like the sons of Adam that make sacrifice. One makes sacrifice of bottom or fruits and all that. They make it to God, like they say then. Is it up to now some ritualists, as in Balawu and all that, they make offerings, sacrifice too. And they always say it's to God. Is it, I don't know if in those days too, they are doing the same thing. I don't know if you understand what I mean by that.
Babalawo, they are still offering sacrifice. In the Old Testament, they were offering sacrifice. But now, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Sacrifice he has offered, what Hebrew tells us so, once he has offered, no more sacrifice. And remember, sacrifice is for atonement. Or, sacrifice is to show gratitude. Now, it is sacrifice of praise. You worship God, you give him praise to show appreciation. Our worship is a form of sacrifice. And it is acceptable before God if it is done from a pure heart. And also, but for atonement of sin, the blood of Jesus Christ has been offered for that. So no more sacrifice for the church of Jesus Christ. Babalawos, they know which demons they are sacrificing to. It has nothing to do with us. God bless you.
And the third one is, I asked my pastor. I was asking him personally. I said, tattoo, drawing tattoo on the body. Is it biblical?
It's not. The Bible is against it. Open it, Leviticus chapter 19. Are you there, sir? Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 28. No, verse 27 too, because you are guilty of verse 27. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 27. Ye shall, look at me, brother. Ye shall not round the corners of your beards. Neither shall thou mar the corners of thy beard. Now, verse 28 is your answer. Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. That's tattoo. Bible is against it. God bless you. Next person.
And the last one, sir. I want to know if your channel is on GoTV or DSTV, and I want to know the particular station. The number it is.
It is on the what do you call it? The My TV decoder. Strong decoder, free to air. Scan your decoder, you will catch the bright TV. God bless you.
Shalom, church.
God bless you.
My question is, I am a victim. I used to put on singlet and boxers at home. I want to know whether...
You can wear anything you like at home. That's between you and your room. But certainly something will be wrong with you if you wear that type of thing and enter market. Now, Chris, don't enter your head. You don't know it.
Okay.
When you are getting out of your house, dress like a man. You understand?
Okay, sir.
The last person.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My name is Sunday. So today is my first
time.
First time coming and you're asking questions. Yeah.
So, and I thank God that I meet up at the right of question and answer.
Thank you.
So, I want to understand something concerning ascension to heaven. And these questions, I was arguing with one woman. And I refer her to the book of Genesis chapter 5 verse 24, where it says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not for God, and God took him. So another verse, in 1 Kings chapter 2, in 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 11, says, and it came to pass, as they still went on, and they talked, and behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and a horse of fire, and they parted them, both ascend. And Elijah went up by a winded into heaven. So the last verse now, where the woman mentioned to me, said, nobody will ascend to heaven. So, and he referred to me in the book of John chapter 3 verse 13 and said, and no man had ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is from heaven. So I want to understand that those two people that God called, are they not in heaven?
It's the woman you will ask, not me.
Please let me understand as a pastor.
No, you, did you ask the woman that? But that you are saying this. Yes, Bible said this here. And he's saying this again here. So, woman, what do you say?
Because it looks like it's contradicting.
No, it's the woman that pointed your attention there now. Or is the woman trying to tell you that Bible contradicts itself?
Yes. Like there's something like the rapture. Or for the righteous one that will inherit the kingdom of God.
So what did she say now? Where did Aaron go? I'm sorry, Enoch go?
Enoch,
where did Elijah go?
He went to heaven.
But she said nobody has gone to heaven. Bible says so.
Yes, in John chapter.
And so what did the woman explain to you now?
He explained in the truth of John chapter 3 verse 13. Say that, and no man had ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven.
The word heaven. That's why when you read, always read in the context. But I'm saying that sometimes, you know, you leave an argument hanging, and a third party may not flow with you. I mean, if somebody is pointing this to you, you should let him explain the other one now. The Bible says it here, and it seems contradictory. What does it mean? Now, the word heaven, and there are three key words, for instance, in the Bible. The word heaven, the word everlasting, and the word faith. You must get the meaning in line with the context it is used. Everlasting sometimes is used to mean eternity. But everlasting is also meant to say for a very long time. Not eternally. Faith also is sometimes used to mean revelation. And faith is also used to mean confidence, trust. So you have to know when that word faith means revelation and when that word faith means confidence. Okay, now heaven also means the dwelling place of God. But heaven also refers to a place of glory that may not necessarily be the dwelling place of God. So, when they say Enoch was taken up to heaven, Elijah, the Tishbite, was taken up to heaven, it means he was taken up to glory. To a place of glory. And it is referred to as the heaven. Because the truth is, no man has seen God at any time. And Jesus Christ himself said, no man has ascended to heaven. He said, he is the only one that can boast of that. Because he knows the Father, he knows where he came from. So you have to understand it that way. That is the meaning of what Enoch did and Elijah did. Please, can we clap our hands for Jesus? Can you, if you have been blessed by this question and answer, stand up, wave your hand to the Lord, and shout seven, thank you, Lord Jesus. Shall we go? Very loud. Three. Four. Five. Six. Finally. Clap your hands for Jesus. Sit down one moment.